This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Just a Voice, the radio ministry of Global Restoration Ministry. Hi, I'm Pastor Philip Upton. Here at Global Restoration Ministry, our desire is to prepare the body of Christ for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by restoring foundational truths and earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Join us as we go into a word from the word. Come on, let's go.
All right. Let's go into something. Say this with me. Receiving right comes from believing right. Receiving wrong comes from believing wrong. A lot of stuff we receive because we're believing the wrong thing. When we want to receive the right thing, we're going to have to believe right. Now, righteousness equals the things that you have a right to. And the things that you have a right to are the things that God has already promised you. And we said he has given unto us some exceeding great and precious promises. And it's God's responsibility for making those promises available unto you. It's your responsibility to receive the promise. God creates whatever he says he's going to do, and he offers it to you. You have to receive and take into possession and count it as yours in order for you to utilize it. Unrighteousness equals the things that you do not have a right to. And it's not just all of the physical things. The one thing you do not have a right to is to doubt God, to question him, to wonder if he's able to do what he said. And the reason that we have these mixed emotions sometimes is because we don't think that we are worthy to receive those things that God has already freely given unto us. Let's take a look at something right now. To receive, it means to give or to present or to be awarded to. Somebody gave you something. Somebody presented you something. Somebody awarded you something. It means to take or acquire something that is given or offered or to receive as a present. But it also means to perceive and to acquire mentally, which is the most important one. To receive or acquire mentally. That means that I drive up in a brand new car, got the keys in my hand, give Pastor Don the keys and the title, and say, man, this is yours. Well, he may not believe that it's yours, that it's his yet. He may not mentally acquire the fact that it's his yet, especially if he asks me, where'd you get it from? This ain't hot, is it? Do you have any paperwork to back it up? Well, once he sees that his name is on there, or that I got the title, and we transfer the title into his name, he knows that it's his. You understand? So there's some things that you have to mentally assent to, although you may not have the physical proof that it's yours yet. Now, once he gets the title, that's a physical proof that it's his. But it was his already when I gave it to him. But when you have mentally assent that healing is already yours, even before you see it manifest, you have already received it even before it presents itself. But if you're waiting for the healing to come to determine whether or not you are healed, it will never come because you have not received it as yours already. Just a thought. Over in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, God begins to make promises to Abraham. We want to talk a little bit about Abraham. It said, the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth will bless. Now, let's go back over to this. He says, and the Lord said, who said? And the Lord said, I will show you the land I want you to go to. I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee. I will bless them that curse you. So, who's making the promises here? Huh? And so what is God, what is Abraham promising God so far? Nothing. Genesis chapter 12, verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, unto thy seed will I give this land. And then he built an altar unto the Lord, which appeared unto him. God promised him to give him a land and give it unto his seed. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. He said, after all these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. Now, all of a sudden, now, he said, listen, God, you've been talking a great talk. All these promises you've been making. Where's the contract? How do I know you're going to keep your promises? You got to understand, Abraham and God, they didn't have a long history together. God just began to talk to Abram when he came out of the land of Ur and told him to leave his father's house and go into a land that he is showing. So, at this point, Abram said, how do I know? And that's when God starts making covenant with Abraham. And he said, go out and take a heifer of 3 years old, turtle dove of 3 years old, and he tells him about all these things, and he's going to make a covenant with him, and we won't go over the entire covenant right now. But he says that I don't have a seed. How are you going to bless me with this? He said, unto my seed, when I don't have any children. And the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. And he said, that shall not be thy heir, but that which comes from your own bowels shall be thy heir. So we know he messed up when he went in with Hagar, but God is still making promises to him. And in chapter 15, verse 5, the same chapter, he says, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward the heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. And verse 6 is where we want to key in on. And it says, and he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee up out of the land of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this great land to inherit it. All Abraham had to do to receive the promises of God was to say, I believe God. And when he sealed that, it was accounted unto him for righteousness. In other words, he had a right to everything that God promised, because he believed. His righteousness is based on him accessing the promises that God says by faith. Abraham believed God, and it was accredited to him as being righteous. That means now what he had a right to were all the perimeters of the thing that God has just said. So everything God said, Abraham could access and taken into his possession at that point, even though he had never walked in the land yet, even though he don't have a seed yet, even though his child has not been born, Sarah is not pregnant, yet I believe God. And therefore, he inherited the promise. Everything was made available at that point. Abraham was not ashamed to take the land where others dwelt, because he believed that he had a right to it. And he received it before he saw it. And he knew that it was his based on what God had promised. You drive past someplace and God said, I'm going to give you that house. I'm going to give you that land. But what, God, somebody already in that house. I don't want to covet. No, God said he was going to give you that. And for you to not accept it is to reject not only the gift, but the giver. God said, I'm going to give you Fort Pierce. But we got too many churches in Fort Pierce. I just need a little section. All I need is this little spot right here. I don't need Fort Pierce. But God said, I'm going to give you Fort Pierce. And for you to reject that is to reject the giver. See, it's not just rejecting the gift. Because, see, whatever God gives you is not for you in the first place. It's to benefit somebody else. Every gift that you have is to be outward to other people. And so now when you reject the gift, not only you don't get it, you reject the giver and nobody else can benefit because of your humbleness, bullheadedness. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. It says, when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. So after that, he had patiently waited, patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Now, the enemy between believing and receiving sometimes is time. Somebody say time. See, time is really irrelevant in eternity, but it messes with us. People say, you got time? No, I don't have time. Time's got me. We're on a time clock. We're ticking. Well, you know, God, I'm not as young as I used to be. I'm still waiting on this thing. And you know, I want at least to be able to enjoy it when you give it to me. Well, you can be like Caleb. I'm still able to take my mountain. Caleb had to wait. The Bible says that through two components that we will inherit the promise. That's through faith and patience. Though the vision tarry, wait on it. How long do you believe God for the promise? Until it manifests. After that, you ain't got to believe no more because it's here. Why does a man hope for that which he has? You only hope for what you haven't gotten. And what does hope? Hope doesn't mean, oh, I hope I get it, I hope I get it. No, hope this creates an inner image of what it is that you want. This is why he asked the blind man, what do you want me to do? Do you know what you want? Well, when you know what you want, I don't care how long it takes. When it shows up, you recognize it. Because you already got an inner image of this thing built on the inside of what God said that you can have. And so it's through faith and patience we can inherit the promise. And the promises is based on what God has said. And when God says you can have it, believe it, receive it, and when it shows up, you'll recognize it. That's mine. That's mine. I already know it's mine. It's mine. And then when you go after it, you'll find out all the obstacles and the destructions, they just fall off. And all of a sudden you get this uncommon favor. It ain't fair. Because, see, there were some Philistines and some Hittites and some Amorites and some Jebusites and some all them ites was up in the land. But God said, I've given you the land. You're going to have a little opposition, but it's yours. Because I want to exercise your faith. I want to allow you to know that, you know, I have given you this, and it's wherever the soles of your feet tread, that have I given you for possession. But you got to get up and start walking, because if you don't ever walk from here to here, that's all you'll ever conquer. That's all you'll ever possess. But he says, as far as you can walk, as far as you can go, whatever the sole of your feet tread. How did you become righteous? You are the righteousness of God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you are righteous? Huh? But didn't you mess up last week? Huh? Didn't you miss out? Didn't you talk, snap at somebody last week and said something you shouldn't have said? Huh? Huh? When you thinking something you wasn't supposed to think, how are you going to talk? How are you going to be in here lifting your hand, talking about praise the Lord? You know what you did last week. That's the devil talking to you. He's talking about you here. You know you ought not been eating all that pork in the first place. That's why you got high blood pressure. What do you mean you healed? It's your fault. You don't deserve this. You know what you tell the devil when he tell you don't deserve it? You get up and start doing your happy dances. Woo! Thank you, Lord, because I don't deserve it, but you blessed me with it anyway. Thank you, Lord, because you're good all the time. I don't have to be good for you to bless me. You bless me anyway. I don't deserve it. I don't earn it, but you gave it to me because you love me. Devil, you're right. You can't get in on this. I don't deserve it, but guess what? He blessed me in spite of me, and you can't get none. Ha, ha, ha. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He said, old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Verse 18, He said, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and have given unto us the ministry of reconciliation." You've been reconciled to God. That means made right standing. That means you've been justified, declared righteous. You have been reconciled. Now, what does the word reconciliation mean? Before, you were on the debtor page, but your debts have been reconciled. You've been forgiven now. Matter of fact, not only you don't owe, but now you're in the black. You got more than enough now. He says, "To the wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses against them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Share this good news with somebody else. Tell them you ain't messed up too bad. You haven't gone too far. You haven't done too much. God loves you, and he's waiting on you, and he's wanting to forgive you, and he wants to bless you in spite of you. And see, when we start changing our mind about who we are in Christ, and start changing our mind about how he feels about us, and start changing our mind about who he is to us, it'll change all this other stuff that's been keeping us in condemnation. Because we'll start owning up that my father is the CEO, that he owns it all, that he can raise me up from the mailroom. He can go ahead and put me in a corner suite with a view. He's got a mansion prepared for me. You know, some of y'all want a little room. I want a mansion. Depends on y'all translation. Some say in my father's house, in many rooms. I say in many mansions. I'm going to take the mansion. I've been a room long enough. The upper room. Now, I want to be in the mansion that God has for us. Whatever the blessing of the Lord is, we ought to desire that. Because we're receiving the giver of the gift. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not covetousness. It's not greed. It's not rejecting the gifts that God has given you. You're going to use them unselfishly. You're not just hoarding stuff. He says, "Now then, we are the ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech us by you, or beseech you by us. We pray unto Christ there, be ye reconciled unto God." Now, how did we become righteous? "For he has made him," talking about 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, talking about Jesus, "he has made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Now, how did Jesus become sin? He was made sin who knew no sin. Our sins were taken off of us and placed on him, and he was made to be sin who knew no sin. And how did you become righteous? Read the scripture. What did it say? "And you were made." It says, "You were made the righteousness of God in him." So it wasn't nothing that you did. It was a transfer of your position in Christ. It was an exchange that took place at the cross. "He who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God through him." So he was made sin so that you could be made righteous. You are the righteousness of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 19, he said, "For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." It had nothing to do with how pious you were, how many years of Bible school you went to, how many hours you prayed every day, how many good deeds you done along the way, how much you gave away in the offering. It had anything to do with that, because you could not earn your own salvation. You could not earn your own righteousness. You had to be deemed or made righteous by him based on what Jesus did, not based on what you do. Now, you act in righteousness now because you are righteous. You do good because he has been good to you. You are righteous, so therefore you receive the mindset of his divine nature, and now you act out the deeds of your father instead of the deeds that you were doing before you got saved. Because of the change of your mind, the change of your position, it should also change your behavior. You ought not be mean as a rattlesnake anymore. You ought not be going out there committing adultery, fornication, and drinking and drugging and all these things that you know that are destroying the temple of the Holy Ghost. And the way that stops is because the Bible said that he will give unto you both the will and the to-do of his good pleasure. But because you did those things or do those things, it didn't change your position, but it will wreck your natural life if you ain't careful. Verse Galatians chapter 3:16. It says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promise made. He said, not to seeds as of many, but as of one, to the seed as one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And if any man be in Christ, you are Abraham's seed, and now you're heirs according to the promise. If you will not declare your righteousness, then you are choosing to remain in a state of unrighteousness. And therefore, you do not think that you have a right to what God has promised you based on your performance. Therefore, you cannot receive the things that you need to deliver you, and you don't feel like you're worthy. Because you will not declare your righteousness in him. You have a mindset of being unworthy. Well, Lord, I messed up, you know. I don't really deserve. You know, I know, I see why this sickness came on me now. I know, yeah, God's just trying to show me something. Yeah, well, I know why I'm walking in poverty now, because God's trying to teach me to be humble through the poverty. Because you don't know who you are. Because you don't understand that been, the things that have been freely given unto you. You're not receiving the promises that God has already made unto you. God didn't put a if and will like in the Old Testament. See, in the Old Testament, everything was based on the law. If you messed up, you had to offer a sacrifice. Well, we have a sacrifice that's been offered. His name is Jesus. And God doesn't look at you and say, listen, Letty, if you do this, I'm going to do that. He said, no, I've already done this. And because I've done this now, you ought to be grateful enough to do that. You ought to love one another. You ought to help out those that have need. Why? Because if you're going to be like your father, if you're going to take on the divine nature, then there's going to be a change in mindset and behavior. Because if you're really going to be a Christian, you need to be Christ-like. Paul was very concerned about his brethren. And just like we're concerned about our people in the church and people in our community. Romans chapter 10, verse 1, he said, my heart's desire and prayer unto God is that Israel might be saved. He said, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, somebody say ignorant of God's righteousness, ignorant of knowing the things that they had a right to, and going about establishing their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness which is of God. When you have not grown in knowledge, grown in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, when you have not found out those things that are freely given unto you, when you have not found out what will make you righteous or the things that you have a right to, you start establishing your own righteousness. From this we get all type of denominations, all types of doctrines, all types of performance issues. People pre-qualify your salvation. If you, you know, only if you did this, then you can be saved. Or only if you have done this, can you be saved. Or only if you join this, you can be saved. Or only if you be here, you can be saved. You know, all these pre-qualifying things that men try to justify their position on their own righteousness and try to exalt themselves over someone else, when the righteousness of God really brings equality to the body of Christ. Because every man's got to consider the needs of others. We don't exalt ourselves above one another. The greatest among you is the what? The servant of them all. And so, denominations, sometimes religious, you know, the way we have been taught, you know, we got to justify our existence. So, you know, Baptists has got to be better than Methodists, and Methodists got to have something on the Pentecostal, and Pentecostals got to have something on this. Everybody got their own little clique, you know. I'm a church of God in Christ. Well, I'm a church of God. Well, I'm the church of Christ. Well, what's the difference? Aren't we all the same body? Aren't we a part of one community, the body of Christ? Don't we have a common union with one another? The sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and rose for our justification. That's all we have that we need to go on. That brings us together in a common relationship with him. Not based on our righteousness, not based on how good we think we are, but based on how good he is. Now, I'm not saying don't be good. Do your best to be the best. But understand the only reason you're doing it is because you have already received the best. And now you're blessed by the best. Amen? To be saved means more than just to be delivered from hell. Understand, when you confess the Lord, salvation, the word sozo means to keep safe. It means to save, to keep sound. It means to rescue from danger or destruction. It means to save one from injury or peril, to save a suffering one from perishing from disease. It means to make well, to heal, to restore health, to save or deliver one from the penalty of the messianic judgment or from hell. So you have so much that is working for you when you receive the salvation of the Lord, and it's all outward. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In the name of Jesus, you shall cast out devils. You're going to be doing things to help people to be delivered, to break the yoke, to destroy every bondage that they may be in, so that they can come to a mindset to say, what must I do to be saved? When we receive all of the gifts and callings and all of the blessing and the benefit, and I say receive it, accept it as being mine. Do you know what a burden that takes off of you on your performance issues? Was I good enough this week? Did I pray long enough? Men are to always pray and not faint. We're always to be in communication with God, but it's not a prerequisite on whether God blesses you or not. It's not a prerequisite on whether God loves you or not. You do it because you are saved. You do it because you do love God. You do it because you always want to hear his instruction and hear his voice. Amen? He said, but the righteousness of God, which is of faith, speaketh on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up again from the dead. That, you know, in other words, what we're saying is, you know, I know God wants us to heal, but if Jesus was right here, if he would come down from above, you know, if he was right here with us, then we could get the job done. The Bible said the word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart, the word of faith that we preach. And that's what we're preaching here today. That if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved from peril, from danger. You shall be healed. It will also administer the ministry of angels in your life that are ministering spirits sent to minister unto those who are the heirs of salvation. It will bring you protection, soundness of mind, and deliverance. All the promises of God come when you confess Christ as Lord and Savior. You shall be saved. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton, the Global Restoration Ministry. I want to invite you out to service. We have service over at the Port St. Lucie Community Center every Sunday. That's at 2195 Southeast Oroso Boulevard. Service times at 10:30 to 12 o'clock. Come on and be a part of our service. If you need to reach me, you can call me at 772-267-1657. Hope to see you there. Joe!